Where do you find the most interesting podcast? With amazing guests and heaps of helpful advice? Join me now on The Mike Holt Show.
Welcome back, Mike. It's good to see you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, Mike.
That's good. Mate, I want to talk to you today about the Royal Registry, but I think before we start talking, let's run a little video that you've got, which explains the basics of Royal Registry, and then we'll get down into the nitty-gritty. Okay, so let's watch the video.
Have you ever pondered the importance of identity in a large community or how it influences trade and banking? You see, in a small community like a village, recognition comes easily. But in larger settings like towns or cities, identity becomes a bit more complex and necessitates a reliable means of identification. This is where registration comes in. Registration provides a certificate, wet ink and notarized, which identifies an individual as a natural person within the community by their title. This combination of title registration and certificate creates a definitive form of identification, crucial for business transactions or legal proceedings. Without registration, there is no standardized means of identifying strangers, making enforceable contracts or arrangements a challenge. This is where the Royal Registry du Jour steps in. Having been re-established to facilitate certificates of registration, it provides a permanent record of an individual, their chattels and all property, including intellectual property. As the saying goes, if possession is 9/10 of the law, the final 10% must be registration. Upon registration with the Royal Registry du Jour, you gain exclusive access to a newly established banking and payment system. This system is private, secure, encrypted, and gold-backed. Your account and contact details are only known to the registry. Your funds are secured in a numbered and coded account, and all transactions are encrypted via a specifically designed app, inaccessible to unauthorized entities. Moreover, your funds are immediately converted to gold or silver and held in the vaults of an approved bullion company. We provide a Visa card with a number specific to you, allowing you to use the card anonymously anywhere Visa is accepted. Upon request, we can provide any denomination of silver or gold coins to be used in place of fiat cash at outlets displaying the Royal Registry du Jour emblem. All information and transactions are conducted over a secure, private and encrypted server to ensure your anonymity. If you wish to open an account, simply email, inserting banking and your name or registration number in the subject field. A steward from Royal Registry du Jour will be in touch with you. Take this step towards an enhanced level of privacy and security in your financial affairs. Open an account with Royal Registry du Jour today. For more information, you can reach us via email at royalregistry@protonmail.com or by mail at 1/87 High Street, Wooden, Victoria, strictly by appointment only. Let Royal Registry du Jour be your gateway to a more secure and private financial future.
Well, that was very interesting. Would you like to expand on what we've just watched?
It explains what registry means, how the importance of being registered, not necessarily yourself. It's not about you personally being registered. It's about your property being registered. And there's a lot of confusion going on in the marketplace that think that, oh, if I jump off the slave ship GovCorp and I come onto the land and I have to register with the king, then the king owns all my stuff. That's utter nonsense. What the Royal Registry is, it's a record office. That's it. It's just a place where records are kept. And there, what we do is we assist people in establishing a private trust using your family crest. And then once that's established, we bring all your private property that's in your straw name, which we bring that over into your private trust so that your straw man owns nothing. Just like the royal family, their public trust is when they go out in the street and everyone refers to them as your royal highness, right? That's like we are, Mr. or Miss, right? Same rubbish. Where that's our public trust. The difference is where the royals own everything in their living name, in their private trust, which is inside Buckingham Palace. Their straw owns nothing. And we, in comparison, our straw has all our property in its capital name, and we as a private aren't even recognised as living entities. And that's what Royal Registry is about. It's reversing so we all live the same as the royals, which is how we're supposed to live from the beginning. Yeah.
Do we get share in their wealth as well?
Yeah, I guess they do between their family members. The difference with us too, we are a self-governed colony of England. In our living capacity, we are subjects of the royal crown. We're not slaves of the royal crown. So we are living men and women with the protection of the royal crown. Whereas right now, 99.99% of the population, they're straws.
Mm.
They are fictions. The fiction has everything they own in its name. That's why the corporate government can take your car and crush it. That's why they can go into your bank account and steal your money. That's trespass.
Tell me about it.
That's trespass. An arbitration has no jurisdiction or has no judicial power to capital punish any living man or woman or anyone for that matter, unless you've had your day in court. And that court has to be a proper constitutional one as per our constitution. We don't run those courts. We don't have any of those in this country. So everything is arbitrary. It's a UCC contract court. It's a court where contracts are being negotiated and argued against. It's got nothing to do with law, nothing to do with the lawful constitutional laws or the royal assented acts, because they only deal with statutes and rubbish they made up.
And that's what they're doing to me in the Melbourne court at the moment too, isn't it?
If you don't record yourself with the royals, which is a registry, then you're not a living man. And if you're not a living man, you're a straw, because you don't have prima facie evidence to say otherwise. All you've got is what you say verbally in court. This is where most people get stuck, because they don't know how to talk in court. They don't know how to speak equitable. What we've done is brought back, actually, what we had before, and that was a record office that records you as a living entity. You have a private trust that's been created to hold all your private property, leaving your straw with nothing. Now, if there's a fine coming your way or there's a rate notice coming your way, but if you buy property and there's stamp duty or GST, you don't pay it. You don't have to, because as a living man and woman, you're not bound by any statutes made by a corporation. That's only for slaves and employees. It's got nothing to do with you and me as living men and women.
Question. Now, I have registered with the Royal Registry, but I'm also recorded on our website. Now, let me show you where I am. So when you go to our common law website and you go to account and you log in, after you log in, that takes you to your dashboard, which is where I am now. This is what you see. And we have our data records right here. So over here are all the forms that you can fill in to record the details of your life, your lawful rebellion, live birth for a child, marriage record, medical marijuana use, motor vehicle record, oath of office, personal property record, real estate record, business, sign, assembly charter, and vehicle register. As you can see over here on the left, I have recorded my car, my marriage, and my record of medical marijuana. Now, how do these fit in with the Royal Registry?
They don't, but here's another record office. It's no different than, and let's use a dog, for example. You got a pet dog. It's your property. So long as it's in your charge, it's in your yard, doesn't get out in the public, it's private property belonging to you because you have control of it. If the dog gets out of the yard and roams the streets, it now is a target, and it could be caught by the dog catcher, by the council, and the council might demand a fine or something like that. The problem is, under contract law, and that's what they are, they're corporations, they're bound by contract law. The first question is, how dare they fine you if you have no contractual agreement that they can do that in the first place? Secondly, if your dog is registered with, say, a dog club, it's recorded. If it's recorded as your property under trespass private common law, then they can't come back and say, because it's not registered with the council, you can't have the dog, or the dog isn't registered. It's a load of crock. If you go to court with that nonsense, it's going to get thrown out, because so long as you're recorded elsewhere, the difference between your record office and our record office is we have a litigation department behind it, and we are bulldogs. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go into court every time they piss us off or they piss off one of our members.
Have you had any successes so far?
Yeah. The litigation department's done over 30,000 with bills of exchange. We know it's a very important part of our economy. All the banks use it. All the government offices use it. So when you get a nasty letter saying, oh, we don't accept that method of payment, or they say, oh, we can't accept that, it's the biggest scam out there. The bill of exchange is royal assented. Now, they removed the currency in 1966. We can't pay a damn thing. It's impossible to pay anything because they took the currency out, and we've only got express trust contracts, bills of exchange, and promissory note. That's the only thing that's operating this country in every aspect of our life. The note in your wallet, the coins in your wallet, the checkbooks that are still floating around. They're all promissory notes. They're all IOUs you hand over and you cash them in, and people accept them as their currency and they give you the same coin back in exchange. And the difference with our currency and theirs is that ours is real silver to proper weight. We have notes laced with real gold, and those notes are laminated so the gold can't rub off. We have our own currency, our own minting.
It's brand your own bank.
That's the Royal Registry.
Okay, now, let's say I have taken off the plates and handed them back in from my car, and I've handed in my license and I get pulled over by the cops and I get a ticket. What do I do?
Okay, we have to go back a few steps. That it's not as simple as that. When you've recorded yourself with Royal Registry, okay, there are illegal steps that the litigation department must do, and that comes from your application. If you're a man that's got property, has real estate in his name, like his home or a car, we need to go through the process of registering those things with our own registration paperwork. That goes to legal department, and legal department then will notify GovCorp to remove from their record because the property's been transferred to our record office. Now, they don't have to like it. We don't give a damn.
Mm.
It's the law. It's been used in court a few times successfully. It is their court system that we have to go into, unfortunately. Mm. And it's a process. So you won't get your rego plate straight away, but it will be processed and the plates will be ordered by the registry, and then the manufacturer will send them to your address direct. So we're not double handling them. So there's a legal process to go through for the litigation department. Once we've established that, then we order the plates. And when you get the plates, then you can swap them over and you pretty much can do whatever you want with those plates. So you can keep them as a souvenir, show the grandkids, you know, 50 years from now, who knows? You can hand them in if it still owes you registration, if you still got some credit on it, hand them in and get some money back. You must wait till you receive the Royal Registry plates. We don't want to put people in harm's way. Don't just deregister your plates and your license and everything and then wait 1 or 2 months for the plates and stuff like that. We don't want people doing it. Just be honourable. Do the right thing. Now, when it comes to insurance, you can get insurance with our plates. You don't have to be GovCorp to be insured. Insurance operates on the chattel. It's got nothing to do with the man or woman behind the wheel. It's the chattel. You're insuring your car. They're not insuring you.
Yeah, that's right.
So long as the vehicle is registered, it's not lost cargo. They can insure it.
This is a question that often comes up. Yeah, what will I do? How do I get insurance? You're right. All you're doing is get insurance on a chattel. So the insurance company doesn't care whether you've got rego or not, whether you've got a license or not. As long as you have that car and you pay the insurance premium, you're covered.
The other thing to remember too is, when you have a notary sealed document that says you are a subject of the Crown, to be a subject of the Crown, you have to be a living man or woman. You can't be a straw. Once you have that document, you're by default the beneficiary of the trust.
Right.
So every bill that comes your way, they're going to settle it. They can't. There's no more argument. There's no more processing notices and all that nonsense. All you have to do with the bill is put your signature on it and send it back. Because if you read the Bills of Exchange Act, Section 22, it says very clearly in it, the bare minimum is you put your autograph on or signature on. That's all you got to do. That's how they're supposed to accept them. It's the law.
Good. All right. Now let's move on to my court case. I've been talking to Peter Gargan about this, and he reckons that my case is probably one of the most important cases Australia's ever seen, because I am attempting to bring our courts back under our constitution. The Melbourne court claims they have jurisdiction over me, but Constitution, Section 80, and the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights say otherwise. That's what I've been using to go into the Supreme Court. I've also tried to get into the High Court, and they wouldn't allow me in. So what we've done now is we've provided a petition on the Common Law website, and I'll show you how to do that in a moment, to tell the highest court in the land, which is our parliament, they've got to summon everybody in the High Court to the parliament to explain why they are ignoring our constitution. So this is where you go on our website. Just go to court, petitions and letters, and then down here, you'll see a link down the bottom here, High Court to show cause. Before you do that, I suggest you watch this little video here. It's only a short one. And then click on here, read the petition, and it's pretty self-explanatory. It's not very long. That's all it is. And basically, the petitions are asking the Senate to summons the entire High Court bench and Chief Executive and the Principal Registrar to show cause before the Senate under Section 72, brackets 2, Constitution, why they should not be dismissed and all subordinate staff terminated and their pensions forfeited to the Crown as the result of criminal misconduct in formulating the High Court Rules 2004 with intent to defraud the courts, judges and people of the Commonwealth by making the High Court a closed shop unavailable to all equally by rules of their court and allowing all insubordinate courts with judges to run riot. In other words, they've been setting up their own star chamber courts. They've been making decisions out of the law. And we, the people, have had enough. So if you come onto this page and then scroll down here, put your name, your address, your email, and your postcode, click on submit, and this will send this message up here to every senator sitting in parliament. So please share this around, and let's get the senators to understand they are our servants. Thanks for coming on, Mike. We'll keep this short, but we'll see you again.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, mate. Cheers.
Cheers.
Common law is for everyone. Come and join us to create a better future in our Commonwealth of Australia. Our mission is to educate, facilitate, and activate, to empower you so that you can confidently protect your rights and freedoms. We are peacefully and actively educating people about their rights and helping free everyone to live their lives to the full. Knowledge is power. We provide assembly meetings where people like you can learn and take responsibility for their lives. Join a Common Law Assembly in your region here. www.commonlaw.earth/assemblies/assembly-meetings. Let's all work together to create a better future. We are all unpaid volunteers, but it takes a lot of time and money to provide the knowledge. Please donate to support our work. Just the price of a cup of coffee can make a huge difference.
In a world where power collides with secrecy and loyalty hangs by a thread, comes a groundbreaking revelation that will challenge your perception of history. Dick Yardley's masterpiece, Australian Political and Religious Leaders, Treason, Treachery and Sabotage. Dive deep into the hidden narratives that shaped a nation. Uncover the untold stories of those who walk the corridors of power, often veiled in shadows. From the heart of Parliament to the sanctums of faith, treason, treachery and sabotage unveils the enigmatic lives of leaders who dared to defy our Constitution. Come on an expedition through history's most guarded secrets. Delve into the pages that expose the intrigue, the alliances, and the betrayals that history tried to forget. Are you ready to uncover the truth? Experience the gripping revelations that redefine Australian history. Get your copy of Australian Political and Religious Leaders, Treason, Treachery and Sabotage now. Available only at advance-australia.com.au and select merchandise on the menu.